Hello and welcome to Admission Straight Talk, a podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful moment when you can jump up and down and shout, "Yes, I'm in." Now, my assistant emailed me a few weeks ago, very excited because our guest today had agreed to participate in today's show. And when I visited her company's website, I just said, "Wow, how cool." That's not exactly my typical reaction to websites. Now, we're going to meet our guest and learn more about her work in just a second. But before introducing her, I would like to remind you that I'm happy to answer your questions here on the show. If you have an admissions-related question that you would like me to address, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/96 and post your question as a comment. You can also send me questions via email at questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. I'm pleased to say that we have a supportive, collaborative, and thoughtful community here at Accepted, so feel free to post a question, share a concern, or just a common thought. Now, to our fascinating guest. Loveline Sidhu is the Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer at Bank Mobile, which provides a mobile-only, fee-free approach to banking. Loveline earned her bachelor's from Harvard in political science and government, then worked for 2 years as an investment analyst, followed by just under 1 year as Director of Corporate Development at Customers Bank. She earned her MBA in 2013 from Wharton and has been the Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer at Bank Mobile since June 2014. Loveline, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Hi, Linda. Thanks so much for having me.
You're most welcome. Now, what is Bank Mobile?
Sure. I'd love to share with you about Bank Mobile. So Bank Mobile is a digital bank that's really built for millennials. And when I say millennials, I mean for their on-the-go lifestyle and truly for their specific needs. You can now do all your banking on smartphone, your tablet, your desktop, really anywhere that you want to do your banking. And on top of that, as you mentioned before, we have absolutely no fees, and we are the only bank in the country that charges no fees ever. And we're really proud about that. Two, we offer 55,000 ATMs nationwide for free.
Wow.
And there's an ATM locator within the app, so you never have a question about where is your closest ATM. And given how broad our network is, it's very likely that it's just around the corner from you as well.
So you don't have to. You don't have to go to some special ATM. I mean, it literally is probably my local ATM or the one in the mall or.
So the ATM locator will tell you which of the 55,000 are within the network. But given how large our network is, so to give you some perspective, 55,000, that's more than three times more than Bank of America's ATM network, which is the largest bank-owned ATM network in the country. So it's very likely that one of our ATMs is just around the corner from you. So we really believe in convenience. On top of that, we really truly believe in saving you time. So to open an account, you snap a picture of your driver's license and it autofills your personal information, and you can open an account in less than 5 minutes. To pay a bill, similarly, you snap a picture of your bill and enter the amount that's owed, and your bill is sent. Same with depositing a check, you snap a picture. And paying a friend is really as simple as just providing their email address or their phone number. And so we just wanted to be able to provide millennials with a way to save them time, to save them money with a no-fee experience, and to provide ultimate convenience through ATM accessibility really around the corner.
So you don't even have to go into a bank branch to – you don't even have bank branches, but you don't have to go into a bank
– Exactly. If you look at the statistics, actually, people don't go into bank branches anymore. It's about 1 to 2 times on average per year versus – doing mobile banking about 20 times per month. So
now I'm somewhat amused that you're directing this so much at millennials, since I'm not one. But I have to admit, rather sheepishly, that my kids, who are millennials, will very happily use their bank app on their phone, where my husband and I will not. We're just not comfortable with
mm-hmm.
it. So
exactly.
Right? All right. Guilty as charged. But what is the advantage of bank mobile over somebody just using their phone app, you know, the bank-specific phone app?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, number one, we have no fees. So
that's an advantage.
You know, yeah. So that's a huge advantage when, on average, customers are charged about $200 in just overdraft fees of their checking account. And so being able to invest $200 and save it, and in the next 30 years, that equates to a lot of money in terms of compounded interest.
Sure.
So people need to learn how, don't justify paying these fees. This is your money. Save it by banking with someone like Bank Mobile and save for your future.
Sounds good.
And on top of that, you know, we've really learned that millennials are really looking for a financial advisor, someone that can provide them with financial knowledge to make healthy financial decisions, particularly for the life stages that they're going to be experiencing very soon, whether that's, you know, graduating and starting their career, you know, getting married, buying their first home, getting their first car, et cetera. And so we truly believe in creating financially empowered customers. And we do that by, number one, giving each of our customers who enroll in direct deposit of their paycheck with us access to a free financial advisor. So someone you can call up, spend 30 to 45 minutes on the phone with, share with them where you're struggling financially, and get actionable takeaways about what you can do today to improve your financial health without spending a dime, just by making healthy habits.
And that's all free. That's all included.
It's all free. Exactly.
Wow. Well, based on what you're just telling me, my next question might be a little bit superfluous, but I'm going to ask it anyways. An American Banker article in January proclaimed that Bank Mobile aims to become the Uber of banking. Is this true or false, and why do you think that the analogy is either valid or invalid?
Sure. So you're probably not going to be surprised by my answer. It's true.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm an avid user of Uber. And to really define what is Uber all about, it's really about utilizing innovative digital technology to provide customers with the ultimate in convenience. And I've already shared with you, you know, some examples of how we're already doing that. But just to expand on that, we view ourselves as a tech company with a bank charter and not simply as a bank.
Okay.
And what that means is that banks have so much data on their customers in terms of transaction behaviors, et cetera, that we can provide our customers with a proactive banking experience rather than a reactive banking experience, which is huge. And a very simple example of what I mean by this is, suppose that you have a monthly recurring subscription to something like Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Instant Video, et cetera, which I'm sure all of you listening
right.
to this podcast have. So we'll be able to synthesize and know that you have these recurring monthly subscriptions. We'll bring it to your attention and say, hey, wanted to let you know that you have these recurring payments each month. On average, this is costing you X amount annually. Do you think it's still worth it for you? Are you utilizing Hulu? Are you utilizing Netflix to make this worth it? You know, and that's just, you know, you didn't ask us to supply that information to you.
Right.
But we're proactively providing you an experience that might help you in terms of saving money and saving time. And that's really what we're dedicated to doing.
That's interesting. I know that Kaiser Permanente, which is a major HMO out on the West Coast, I don't think it's so prominent on the East Coast. One of the things that it started doing is because it has, and it's a closed healthcare system, so it has all health mm-hmm. records for its members, and mm-hmm. it will proactively remind its members, you know, you need a cholesterol screening test. Have you had your
mm-hmm. sugar
check? Have you gone for your gotten your eyes checked? It's a year since you did this. It's 2 years since you did that. You know. And again, it's basically taking advantage of the data that it has. It sounds to me like on
exactly.
some level you're doing similar things, but for the financial health of the individual.
Yeah, exactly. And something that we're working on right now actually is something called a Can I Buy feature.
Yeah.
So we're developing technology so when you're in a store, for example, you can scan the barcode of an item.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we can tell you, number one, where is the cheapest place to actually buy this item closest to you or online? Mm-hmm. Number two, by looking at your budget, your cash flows, and your savings goals, we can predict for you, to the best of our ability, whether it is prudent for you to actually buy this item today.
Wow.
And if the answer is yes, then we can also provide you, depending on how expensive the item is, pre-approved financing. Because you're already a customer, and so we already have on file whether we can provide you financing at that real-time moment for you to actually make that purchase.
And all of this
so
in
a, taking a step farther.
And all of this in an instant, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
So that's the direction we're moving, and we're building that today.
How did the idea for Bank Mobile develop?
Sure. So there's a couple of motivations that really drove us to create Bank Mobile and really created passion, at least within me, strong passion for this endeavor that we've created, which is, you know, Bank Mobile. Number one, you know, I personally saw that industries in general are moving ahead in terms of creating innovative digital technology and being able to create a wow experience for customers. And I saw that banks and financial services in general are lagging so far behind in terms of creating innovative digital technology and a wow experience for customers. And I was really determined to create a new standard for banking. And that was one of my driving motivations to really start Bank Mobile. And number two, you know, being a consumer and having overdraft fees and getting fees by banks is super frustrating to me, because I think a lot of us feel that we put our money in a bank for the purpose of protecting our money and saving our money and finding options, you know, to lend to us so we can really reach our, you know, aspirations.
Sure.
And banks are doing the opposite and really they distrust forming. And so, you know, I wanted with Bank Mobile to create an absolutely fee-free banking experience so people can bank with absolutely no worries and know that we're truly their partner, their financial partner. And third, you know, is what I mentioned before is, you know, I have a strong interest in social enterprise, and I wanted to do something above and beyond just creating an exceptional banking experience for our customers, but really contribute to our customers and to society in some way. And so we're really dedicated to creating financially empowered customers and just improving financial empowerment across the board through education. And part of the way that we're doing that is through the financial advisor and also by creating unique educational blogs. But it's also through our foundation called Bank Mobile Foundation, which we've established.
What is that about?
Promote financial literacy and education, and to help fund social enterprises that have the mission of propagating financial education and promoting it as well.
That's quite a broad vision for Bank Mobile. Now let's
excited.
It is. Let's turn away a little bit from Bank Mobile and talk about you a little bit and your education and background and how that's worked for you. Now, you had worked in finance after attending Harvard as an undergrad. Looking back on your MBA experience, did you really learn anything in business school, or did you go more for the credential? I mean, I think this is a debate, especially for one of the entrepreneurs.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there's always an opportunity cost to going to business school, and everyone needs to make that personal decision of whether it's worth it or not for them. Mm-hmm. For me, it was 100% worth it, and I do think that I learned a tremendous amount. And it's not always tangible, so I can't sit here and be like, okay, I learned, you know, A, B, and C. But it's more that it changed the way that I think.
How?
And I actually think that's the greatest value that it could have provided to me. And a few ways that it helped me, you know, learn how to think is through the case study method. So Wharton is about 50% case study.
Okay.
And so we, you know, we get to learn about other businesses and how they started and how they grew. And we debate about the strategies that they implemented, the marketing that they implemented, their financial structure. And we get to learn from each other and from the experiences of these business leaders that we're studying, how did they really build something from the ground up and be successful? And being able to broaden my thinking in that way, I think, is invaluable. So that was a huge learning for me. I also feel that I learned a lot through clubs. Particularly, you know, I was part of Wharton Social Venture Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did there was study the business models of different social enterprises. So these are companies that generate a profit but do social good. And so it was through these case studies that, again, I really learned how to study business models and invest in them, because we were actually investing as well. And that provides, again, invaluable experiences. Number one, I'm building my own company right now. And number two, it has a social enterprise component to Bank Mobile as well. And without that sort of experience beforehand, I think that I wouldn't have layered on that extra social aspect of Bank Mobile that actually makes me all that more passionate about Bank Mobile today.
Well, you certainly, I mean, the vision that you provided at the beginning of the call, I mean, that was to me what was as much of a wow as the technology of Bank Mobile is. I think the vision you provided of what you're trying to build is in some respects as impressive or more impressive than what you've already done. And is that something that perhaps business school helped you to develop and develop a plan to realize?
Yeah, for sure. I think that you need to be very clear about why you want to go to business school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to hear that a lot, and I was like,
you could have heard it from me.
It frustrated me because I was like, you know, kind of the purpose that I'm going to business school is to learn what I want to do. And that is, number one, a path you can take, and people have been successful doing that. Number two, though, I went in with a broad enough reason why I wanted to go. I wanted to learn how to be an entrepreneur, and that's pretty broad. And I didn't have an end goal in mind, but I knew that going in, and I feel that it helped guide me in terms of the classes I took, the clubs that I was a part of, the people that I networked with, and the internship that I did, that really helped solidify, you know, my skills in entrepreneurship and helped propel me to where I am today.
Okay, great. What do you think people don't grasp about the Wharton MBA experience? What do you wish you had known before you arrived?
Sure. So I think, you know, one thing is that the application process didn't really end after I got in. And this is one thing that I found a little frustrating as well. That's why I think it's so great to be clear about why you want to go to business school, or at least what you want to get out of business school. So a lot of the clubs that you want to be a part of that really provide the experience that I was talking about that broadens my thinking, the applications start in September, and you don't have a guaranteed enrollment in even, you know, successful clubs. Everything is still very competitive, and so you really need to be on top of your game in terms of, hey, this is what I want to get out of business school. B, I've identified these clubs and these classes to help me get there. And
mm-hmm.
C, I know when I need to apply for these clubs and for these classes. And D, this is why I can demonstrate to them that I have the passion and I'm the right person to accept into this club or to this class. And I think a lot of people don't know that. And at least for the business school that I went to, this was the reality.
Right. Well, I'm a big believer in having career direction or a good reason for an MBA before you start applying, actually. I think it's
mm-hmm.
it's really, really super important. And I'm sure anybody who's a regular listener to the program probably thinks I put you up to say what you just said. but I promise I didn't.
No, you did not.
And for just the reasons that you enunciated, that you're there for a short period of time, bottom line. But not only just
mm-hmm.
competition, you just need to know where you want to devote your time and energies, where you want to invest it.
Exactly.
What did you like? Go ahead. I'm
time
sorry.
Time flies by. Time totally flies by. So you need to be very prudent about your time and your time management and your resource allocation of where you want to spend your time and your energy.
Great. What did you like best and least about Wharton?
So let me start with what I liked best.
Okay.
Honestly, I can say hands down that it was the best 2 years of my life. I had so much fun. It's just incredible. Like, reliving even the memories brings joy and a smile to my face. I traveled around the world through club-sponsored trips, and it was great because a lot of the trips that we went to were hosted by students that come from that country. Mm-hmm. So being able to be hosted by people that live and grew up in those cities and countries across the globe and having you be hosted by them is a completely different experience. And we made lasting friendships for sure. On top of that, one thing that gave me the relief to kind of just learn and enjoy the process of learning was that we had non-grade disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically meant that it was basically pass or fail in a sense, and employers are not allowed to ask your grade. Not that I did poorly or that people do poorly because of this, but I think it just helps you enjoy the process of learning a little bit. I also think that the professors are honestly awesome and have great credibility, and I'm in touch with professors even today about Bank Mobile and our customer acquisition strategy, our partnership strategy, and being able to get feedback from them based on their experience and the research that they're doing and the classes that they have has been very valuable for me as well. What I think was probably least enjoyable is, number one, time flew by. It was too fast. Probably knew it was over. And, you know, as I mentioned before, I'm just going to reiterate again, you need to know what you want to get out of business school, otherwise you miss out on a ton of opportunities. Another thing that, you know, at least about Wharton was that we had a bidding process for classes because there's, you know, supply and demand don't match up in terms of classes and the number of students at the school. So we actually had to bid for classes, and you don't always get the classes that you really wanted, and you need to go in with realistic expectations. So you need to give it 100%, whatever you feel that you, whatever club, class, et cetera, that you feel that you want to take advantage of. But you need to have backup plans and keep your expectations in alignment because you don't always get everything that you want. The process of applying and really doesn't stop.
Right. And that would, again, kind of go back to your point about knowing what's important to you.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Now, you did an exchange program at INSEAD, right?
I did.
Are you glad you did? And what did you like about that specific part of your MBA experience?
Oh, it was awesome. What I loved about it was that, you know, Wharton in particular, they allow you to do the exchange program after you graduate. So I never felt, number one, that I was missing out on any of my Wharton experience, which was amazing. What was really great about the exchange program for me was, number one, I never did an exchange program in undergrad, and I really wanted an international educational experience. And so, you know, Wharton provided me with the resources to be able to do that. It was also very broadening in terms of cultural education. So INSEAD is actually in a very small town. You can call it a village of Fontainebleau, about 40 minutes outside of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, we lived in someone's home there.
Oh,
and just, you know, learning to be part of a different culture and, you know, where there's a language barrier too, because in Paris people speak English, but in these smaller villages people really don't. So it was a great cultural experience in terms of food and understanding cultural nuances and how things really work. And I still remember my house that I was living in was a two-minute walking distance from a huge chateau where Napoleon spent his summers.
Oh, wow.
So it was just a great cultural experience that I will never forget. We also traveled every weekend throughout Europe because everything is so close. Uh-huh. Just an hour plane ride away, really, which was great. And, you know, another thing about business school in general, and it helped at Wharton and both at INSEAD, is broadening your network. And you hear that so much, that, oh, go to business school because it broadens your professional network. And it almost sounds like cliche and like an overused, but it's so true. Right now with Bank Mobile, I'm forming strategic partnerships that really broaden and expand our value proposition tremendously. And all of them are either headed by a Wharton grad, a Harvard grad, or an INSEAD grad.
Wow.
So in terms of really connecting and really providing you with that network from a professional standpoint, I can speak firsthand, it has helped me tremendously.
That's fantastic. Now, do you anticipate Bank Mobile going, I think are you nationwide now, or are you just located in the Mid-Atlantic and East?
We're nationwide.
Are you?
So anywhere across the country. It's actually the 48 states, and uh-huh. We're currently not in Hawaii and Alaska.
All right. Are you anticipating expanding internationally?
We would love to.
Okay.
We'd absolutely love to. So we launched in January, so got to take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would love for Bank Mobile to be the best digital bank in the world.
Sounds good. Now, I'm positive that there are people listening to this podcast who would love to attend Wharton, who would love to start whatever their Uber of is, whether it's banking or healthcare or transportation. What advice do you have for the recent college grad or soon-to-be MBA applicant who wants either to attend Wharton or to go the entrepreneurial route that you've definitely gone down?
So number one is to be very clear about your goals. I think that you need to, in order to head in the right direction, you need to be clear about what is it that you want to achieve. And you should create short-term goals and long-term goals. And then the next step is really outlining what is the journey that it's going to take me to reaching my short-term and long-term goals. Is it going straight into entrepreneurship and establishing my company today? Is it going to business school and broadening the way that I think and really expose me to that professional network that can help me? What is it that's going to get me there? And three, it's passion. And it's easy to say passion, but I can tell you as an entrepreneur and as a person in life, you know, life is a great analogy for entrepreneurship. There's beautiful times, exciting times, and there's also very challenging times.
For sure.
And they both come and they both go. You know, life ebbs and flows, and so does the journey of your business. And you're going to feel frustrated at times. You're going to feel like giving up. And you need to have that passion and that fire that no matter what, you're going to stand grounded and you believe in your idea, you believe in the passion that you have, and that's going to keep you going.
Great. Thank you. And your comment reminded me of a parable I once heard.
Mm-hmm.
A king had an underling who was very, very promising, very talented, and he at some point, the king was concerned that the subordinate was getting a little bit too cocky. So mm-hmm. he said, I want you to find an answer to this question for me. The question is, what will make a rich man sad and a poor man happy?
Mm-hmm.
And this subordinate goes and starts searching in the kingdom to find an answer to the question, and he can't find an answer. Finally, you know, and he had a year to find this answer, and he was very confident initially that he could get it, rather mm-hmm. overconfident. So he searches and he searches and he's not finding and he's talking to all kinds of people and he's researching. He even checked Wikipedia and he Googled it and nothing was coming up with it. Finally, in a very distant village, he sees a shack and he goes over to the man in the shack and he says, do you know the answer to this question? What will make a rich man sad and a poor man happy? And the guy mm-hmm. says, that's easy. This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that's goes for business, life, entrepreneurship, all kinds of things.
Very true. And it's good to be realistic and have that expectation before
right.
you get started.
Right. Lovely. Thank you so much for giving of your time and sharing your thoughts on the MBA, on Bank Mobile, the company, and on mobile banking, Wharton, the value of MBA, and, of course, entrepreneurship in general. Where can listeners learn more about Bank Mobile or even sign up since it's fee-free and so convenient?
Yes, you can go to bankmobile.com for more information about Bank Mobile. And I would love to encourage you to download our app. You just search for Bank Mobile with no space between bank and mobile on your App Store or in Google Play, and you can open an account in less than 5 minutes.
Sounds
so
good.
I'd love for you guys to try it out.
And that's for Apple, Android?
Exactly.
Great. We'll throw links in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/96 to Bank Mobile, the American Banker article that I mentioned at the beginning, as well as links to related resources on Exceptive. So check them all out at info.exhibit.com/96. Listener, thank you, too, for tuning in to this, our 96th episode. If you found this episode helpful, I have a favor to ask. Please share your perspective on iTunes. There's a link to our iTunes page where you can leave a review. And if you have a question you would like me to address or just want to comment on the show, please do so in a comment at info.exhibit.com/96 or by sending an email to questions@exhibit.com. Finally, if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Exceptive, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastnames.com.